"So what's the plan, boss?" Dixon asked, and the question sent Reacher spinning 9 years into the past, to the last time he had heard anyone ask it.
"Same as ever. We investigate, we prepare, we execute. We find them, we take them down, and then we piss on their ancestors' graves."
Chapter 25. The Chateau Marmont was a bohemian old pile on Sunset near the foot of Laurel Canyon. All kinds of movie stars and rock stars had stayed there. There were plenty of photographs on the walls. Errol Flynn, Clark Gable, Marilyn Monroe, Greta Garbo, James Dean, John Lennon, Mick Jagger, Bob Dylan, Jim Morrison. Led Zeppelin and Jefferson Airplane had booked in there. John Belushi had died in there, after speedballing enough heroin and cocaine to take down every guest in the hotel. There were no photographs of him. The desk clerk wanted IDs along with Nagley's platinum card, so they all checked in under their real names. No choice. Then the guy told them there were only 3 rooms available. Nagley had to be alone, so Reacher and O'Donnell bunked together and let the women have a room each. Then O'Donnell drove Nagley back to the Beverly Wilshire in Dixon's car to pick up their bags and check out. Then Nagley would take the Mustang back to LAX, and O'Donnell would follow her in convoy to bring her back. It would be a 3-hour hiatus. Reacher and Dixon would stay behind and spend the 3 hours working on the numbers. They set up in Dixon's room. According to the desk guy, Leonardo DiCaprio had been in there once, but there was no remaining sign of him. Reacher laid the 7 spreadsheets side by side on the bed and watched as Dixon bent down and scanned them, the same way some people read music or poetry.
"Two key issues," she said immediately.
"There are no 100% scores. No 10 out of 10, no 9 out of 9.
"And?"
"The first 3 sheets have 26 numbers, the fourth has 27, and the last 3 all have 26 again."
"Which means what?"
"I don't know. But none of the sheets is full. Therefore, the 26th thing and the 27th thing must mean something. It's deliberate, not accidental. It's not just a continuous list of numbers with page breaks. If it was, Franz could have gotten them onto 6 sheets, not 7. So it's 7 separate categories of something."
"Separate but similar. It's a descriptive sequence."
"The scores get worse," Dixon said.
"Radically."
"And quite suddenly. They're okay, and then they fall off a cliff."
"But what are they?"
"No idea."
"What can be measured like that, repetitively?"
"Anything can, I guess. Could be mental health, answers to simple questions. Could be physical performance, coordination tasks. It could be that errors are being recorded, in which case the numbers are actually getting better, not worse."
"What are the categories? What are we looking at? 7 of what?
Dixon nodded.
"That's the key. We need to understand that first."
"Can't be medical tests. Can't be any kind of tests. Why stick 27 questions in the middle of a sequence where everything else is 26 questions? That would destroy consistency."
Dixon shrugged and stood up straight. She took off her jacket and dumped it on a chair, walked to the window and pulled a faded drape aside and looked out and down, then up at the hills.
"I like L.A.
"Me too, I guess."
"I like New York better."
"Me too, probably."
"But the contrast is nice."
"I guess.
Shitty circumstances. But it's great to see you again, Reacher. Really great."
Reacher nodded.
"Likewise. We thought we'd lost you. Didn't feel good."
"Can I hug you?"
"You want to hug me?"
"I wanted to hug all of you at the Hertz office, but I didn't, because Nagley wouldn't have liked it."
"She shook Angela Franz's hand, and the Dragon Ladies at New Age."
"That's progress," Dixon said.
"A little," Reacher said.
"She was abused way back. That was always my guess."
"She'll never talk about it."
It's sad.
You bet.
Carla Dixon turned to him, and Reacher took her in his arms and hugged her hard. She was fragrant. Her hair smelled of shampoo. He lifted her off her feet and spun her around, a complete, slow circle. She felt light and thin and fragile. Her back was narrow. She was wearing a black silk shirt, and her skin felt warm underneath it. He set her back on her feet, and she stretched up tall and kissed his cheek.
I've missed you. Missed you all, I mean.
Me too. I didn't realize how much.
You like life after the army?
Yes, I like it fine.
I don't. But maybe you're reacting better than me.
I don't know how I'm reacting. I don't know whether I'm reacting at all. I look at you people and I feel like I'm just treading water. Or drowning. You all are swimming.
Are you really broke?
Almost penniless.
Me too. I earn 300 grand a year and I'm on the breadline. That's life. You're well out of it.
I feel that way, usually, until I have to get back in it. Nagley put $1,030 in my bank account.
Like a 1030 radio code? Smart girl.
And for my airfare. Without that, I'd still be on my way down here, hitchhiking.
You'd be walking. Nobody in their right mind would pick you up.
Reacher glanced at himself in an old spotted mirror. 6'5", 250, hands as big as frozen turkeys, hair all over the place, unshaven, torn shirt cuffs up on his forearms like Frankenstein's monster. A bum. From the big green machine to this. Dixon said,
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
I always wished we had done more than just work together.
Who?
You and me.
That was a statement, not a question.
Did you feel the same way?
Honestly?
Please?
Yes, I did.
So why didn't we do more?
Wouldn't have been right.
We ignored all kinds of other regulations.
It would have wrecked the unit. The others would have been jealous.
Including Nagley?
In her way.
We could have kept it a secret.
Dream on.
We could keep it a secret now. We've got 3 hours.
Reacher said nothing. Dixon said,
I'm sorry. It's just that all of this bad stuff makes me feel that life is so short.
And the unit is wrecked now, anyway.
Exactly.
Don't you have a boyfriend back east?
Not right now.
Reacher stepped back to the bed. Carla Dixon came over and stood right next to him, her hip against his thigh. The 7 sheets of paper were still laid out in a line.
Want to look at these some more? Reacher asked.
Not right now.
Me either.
He gathered them up and butted them together, placed them on the nightstand, and trapped them under the phone. Asked,
You sure about this?
I've been sure. For 13 years.
Me too.
But it has to stay a secret. Agreed.
He took her in his arms and kissed her mouth. The shape of her teeth was new to his tongue. The buttons on her shirt were small and awkward. Chapter 26. Afterward, they lay in bed together, and Dixon said,
We need to get back to work.
Reacher rolled over to take the stack of papers off the nightstand, but Dixon said,
No. Let's do it in our heads. We'll see more that way.
Will we?
Total of 183 numbers. Tell me about 183. As a number.
Not prime. It's divisible by 3 and 61.
I don't care whether it's prime or not.
Multiply it by 2 and you get 366, which is the number of days in a leap year.
So is this half a leap year?
Not with seven lists. Half of any kind of a year would be 6 months and six lists.
Dixon went quiet. Reacher thought,
half a year. Half. More than one way to skin a cat. 26, 27.
How many days are there in half a year?
A regular year? Depends which half, either 182 or 183.
How do you make half?
Divide by 2.
Suppose you multiplied by 7 over 12.
That's more than half?
Then again by 6 over 7.
That would bring it back to exactly half, 42 over 84.
There you go.
I don't follow.
How many weeks in a year?
52.
How many working days?
260 for 5-day weeks, 312 for 6-day weeks.
So how many days would there be in 7 months' worth of 6-day working weeks?
Dixon thought for a second.
Depends on which 7 months you pick. Depends on where the Sundays fall. Depends on what day of the week January 1st is. Depends on whether you're looking at a continuous run of months or cherry-picking.
Run the numbers, Carla. There are only 2 possible answers.
Dixon paused a beat.
182 or 183?
Exactly. Those 7 sheets are 7 months worth of 6-day working weeks. One of the long months only had 4 Sundays, hence the 27-day anomaly. Dixon slid out from under the sheet and walked naked to where she had left her briefcase and came back with a leather Filofax diary. She opened it and put it on the bed and took the papers off the nightstand and arranged them in a line below the diary. Her eyes flicked back and forth 7 times.
It's this year.
It's the last 7 calendar months, right up to the end of last month.
Take out the Sundays, you get 3 26-day months, then 1 27-day month, and then 3 more 26-day months.
There you go. Some kind of 6-day-a-week figures got worse and worse over the last 7 months. Some kind of results. We're halfway there.
The easy half,
Dixon said.
Now tell me what the figures mean.
Something was supposed to happen 9 or 10 or 12 or 13 times a day, Monday through Saturday, and didn't always come out right.
What kind of something?
I don't know. What kind of a thing happens 10 or 12 times a day?
Not Model T Ford production, that's for sure. It's got to be something small scale. Or professional, like a dentist's appointments, or a lawyer's, or a hairdresser's.
There was a nail salon near Franz's office.
They do more than that in a day. And how would nails relate to 4 people disappearing and a Syrian with 4 aliases?
I don't know.
Me either.
We should, shower and get dressed.
After.
After what?
Dixon didn't answer, just walked back to the bed and pinned him to the pillow and kissed him again. 2,000 horizontal and 7 vertical miles away from them, the dark-haired 40-year-old, currently calling himself Alan Mason, was in the front cabin of a United Airlines Boeing 757, en route from LaGuardia, New York, to Denver, Colorado. He was in seat 3A, with a glass of sparkling mineral water beside him on the armrest tray and a newspaper open on his lap. But he wasn't reading it. He was gazing out the window instead at the bright white clouds below. And 8 miles south of them, the man in the dark blue suit in the dark blue Chrysler was tailing O'Donnell and Nagley back from the LAX Hertz lot. He had picked them up leaving the Beverly Wilshire. He had guessed they were flying out, so he had positioned himself to follow them to the airport terminals. When O'Donnell had swung back north on Sepulveda, he had needed to scramble fast to get behind them. As a result, he was 10 cars back all the way, which was good, he figured, in terms of inconspicuous surveillance.